Welcome to the Next Level Soul Podcast, where we ask the big questions about life. Why are we here? Is this all there is? What is my soul's mission? We attempt to answer those questions and more by bringing you raw and inspiring conversations with some of the most fascinating and thought-provoking guests on the planet today. I am your host, Alex Ferrari. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've struggled with my body my entire life. I've either been extremely fit, almost at athletic level, or I've been completely out of shape and I can't move anywhere. And I fluctuate back and forth, which is something I'm still struggling with to this day. But if you don't get your body and your mind right, it's difficult to navigate this world. It's very difficult to get the most out of life. And today's guest will hopefully help you get your mind and body on the right track to help level up not only your mind and body, but also your soul. On the show, we have legendary fitness guru, celebrity personal trainer, author, and the creator of P90X, Tony Horton. Now, Tony is a force of nature, to say the least. He is in his 60s and looks like he's in his 20s. He has inspired and affected millions of souls around the world with his fitness program, P90X. And I wanted to have Tony on the show so he can hopefully help share his knowledge, how he broke through his fears, his amazing origin stories of how he became who he became, and overcome the obstacles that were thrown in his life's path. So let's dive in.
Alex, I'm fantastic. Oh, that was too much enthusiasm. Hold on. Hey, I'm great, man. I'm good. Great to be here.
Thank you so much for being on the show, brother. I really appreciate it. You are, you've been an inspiration to so many people around the world with your amazing programs like P90X and your books and everything. And I wanted to have you on the show to not only talk about the physical part of what we, our journey here on this planet is, which is extremely important because this is our car. This is our vessel. This is what we walk around in. And the healthier, the better. But also the mind and how powerful the driver is of this vehicle. And you have very specific techniques and also just experience with that. So I wanted to kind of delve into that. So I wanted to ask you, how did you get started on this journey? I mean, I'm assuming this is your life's purpose because you've been doing this for a couple years now. So how did you find this path for yourself? Because I know it wasn't originally your idea, like to go down this health trainer path, right?
No, not at all. I was a wee lad. I was an insecure kid. I had a speech impediment. I was a tremendous procrastinator. One of my favorite things was to do nothing or to put things off. And that's just the nature of who I was as a kid. And hold on, I'm going to hang that up. And it wasn't important. President Biden looking for advice. Oh, crap. But here's the thing. You know, my father was a super jock. And when he was going through the rigmarole of getting himself to be a great athlete, it was not a fun process. I mean, his coaches and his father were just driving him into the ground, and it became this really arduous, hideous win-loss column lifestyle, you know, and so when I came along, he just kind of left me alone. He just figured, you know, I would have liked a little bit more help in the journey. I wanted to be a great athlete. I wanted to be a good ball player. I loved hoop. I played, you know, baseball as a kid, but I didn't start. I sat in the bench mostly. I was on the football team. I was a tackling dummy really during the week. That's what was my use as a player. I didn't know anything about training. I didn't know anything about, like, okay, if I did all these different things, plyometrics and yoga and weightlifting and functional fitness and HIIT training, you know, or whatever existed at the time, I would have been a better athlete. And I wasn't really good at asking the right questions to the right people. You know, I didn't have, you know, like my high school football coach. You know, he didn't care about me. I was on the team so the other good players could have somebody to run over Monday through Thursday, you know, that kind of thing. And then not till I came out to California that I, you know, this is 1980 when I had finished college. I wasn't graduate. I hadn't graduated, still 6 credits short. You'd think they'd give me a diploma by now, damn it. You know, whatever, 3 books, a billion and half millions worth of sales and workouts, still no diploma. Come on.
Exactly.
But, So I came out here and I just fell in love with the lifestyle. I mean, there were gyms on every corner. There weren't, that wasn't like that back in the East Coast. The gym was at the high school and it was, you know, the size of a bathroom, and or at the university where I went to school. But I didn't like, oh, I'm going to go down to the gym and lift weights. Forget that. I did take a weightlifting course in college just because I was curious about it. And I really enjoyed it. I found that my GPA went up that month, and I didn't realize it at the time that, you know, norepinephrine, dopamine, serotonin, all these really fantastic drugs as a result of regular exercise start to appear inside of the brain. It's like Miracle-Gro for the brain. So, but for me, I was just trying to get pecs and abs and biceps so I could meet girls. I wasn't really doing it for any other reason, but I did feel more productive and I had more energy and I felt sharper. I didn't have to sleep as long, you know, I got over hangovers quicker, things like that. It was kind of an amazing thing. But I just thought it was coincidence. Then I came out to here and I read a couple of books, did a lot of personal development, which if you look behind me, that's mostly personal development books, you know, Deepak Chopra and Andrew Weil and Gary Zukav and Tony Robbins and Richard Carlson. And, you know, they're all back there. And I came out here for a lot of reasons. I came out here to be an actor and I did some of that. And I was in little small parts in movies and did some commercials and a couple little TV shows. But I happened to get one gig working for this guy, Harlan Goodman, who was used to be in the music industry, and he was working with a gal by the name of Julia Phillips. And Julia was insane. I mean, she was insane. She co-produced The Sting and Taxi Driver and Close Encounters of the Third Kind with her husband, John, and they split up. And then so she and Harlan tried to make movies over at 20th Century Fox. And you know, I was done being a pantomime at the pier and the assistant manager of the Oak Tree Men's clothing store and a handyman and a carpenter and whatever the hell I could do to pay my rent and put some gas in my car. And so I had a real job. I was over at Fox. I was, you know, it's just, you know this town. You're from this town. You know what this business is like. And so, oh, look, there's Stallone and there's Robert Redford and there's all these people. But I'm still feeding the cat and hiding the pot and making the coffee and delivering the scripts and doing all the shit jobs. But at that time, as a young actor, so what was cool about the gig was if I got everything done, they would make time for me to go on my auditions, which was perfect, right? And so I was a skinny fat kid. Excuse me. So skinny fat is sort of a term that says you look skinny, but you got a lot of subcutaneous fat. So my, you know, I was a size medium. I had a little pudge, had tiny little arms. You know, I was drinking a lot of beer and smoking pot and eating pizza. You know, that's how I got by. Dr. Pepper was one of my favorite beverages at that time. But my agent at that point said, hey, man, you got to get yourself into some shape because you're not really looking California. You're looking more like pasty Connecticut kid, which is what I was. So I took my agent very seriously and I joined a local gym. And that's where all the women were anyway. So this was perfect. It was a plus plus. And not that I met anybody there, but I got into it. And I remembered a lot of the things that I learned from that college weightlifting class. And the gym was the Sports Connection on Ocean Park in Santa Monica back in the day. And it was massive. And there were these classes. I never aerobics classes. And I look in the window and I go, it's all women. Can I go in there? Sure. And I did. You know what I mean? Right. But I just got into it. I just really got into it. And then Harlan, who was my boss, noticed. He was seeing my transformation over the course of like 3 or 4 months, and he was struggling. It was super stressful. I mean, making movies in this town is not an easy thing to do, you know. And so, you know what I mean. And so, and Julia was pretty crazy, and you know, she had a pretty good reputation having made those three major films. You know, I mean, I have those two of those posters from those. I have Close Encounters and Taxi and Raging Bull, which was not one they made, but you know, these are people that she had dealt with, and I was a big fan of those films. And you know, even though I got fired every Friday and rehired every Sunday night for whatever, I forgot to change a light bulb or something. That was usually why I got fired or didn't put enough gas in the car. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Running, or being a runner is, you know, but it's a cool way to sort of learn things fast. Anyway, so I was getting in shape and Harlan noticed, and I started training Harlan in a buddy's garage. And he lost about 35, 40 pounds, you know, just I told him to eat better. You know, I got him to get off the hooch a little bit too. And he looked amazing and incredible. And at that point, I started training not only him, but, you know, I didn't have a certification of anything. I was just later on, I was a member of four different gyms. One was kind of an aerobics gym. One was kind of a, you know, you name it, everything gym. One was a bodybuilding gym, which was World Gym down in Venice. And then Lou Ferrigno and Arnold Schwarzenegger and guys like that. There was Gold's Gym, which was kind of a freak show, you know, further up the street. But World's Gym is where Arnold settled and Lou settled. And I would work out with Lou Ferrigno once in a while, and You know what I mean? I would spy on these guys and I go, oh, all right, 47 sets of chest seems reasonable. You know, I get into that. Okay. We can do biceps for 2.5.
I only do 42. So that's probably why I'm not looking like Lou.
That one more set, man, and you would be
exactly. Spot on,
and so I had all this different input from these different kinds of gyms. And I tried to apply a lot of that to Harland. And then I started taking on other clients. I had there was a couple that I trained on the Wilshire Corridor north of Westwood. A lot of people don't know what I'm talking about, but I know you do. Mm-hmm. And they were doctors. And, you know, I would carry like two of these boxes of dumbbells up to their house. They could have afforded dumbbells. I should have just told them to buy them. But, you know, here I am dragging this equipment around, a mat and dumbbells and stuff. And before you knew it, I had three or four clients, and I didn't have to do as much carpentry. And I had to make a decision whether I wanted to continue to work for Harland. And I don't, you know, I just got tired of getting fired all the time and rehired, you know, the following weekend. And I said, you know, I'm going to continue with the acting thing and see how that goes. And I'm going to begin to, you know, I'm going to start this training career. And I write about this in my book, The Big Picture. But, you know, Harland quit, couldn't work with Julia, left Fox and went back to a place called Easton Management. Used to be on Sunset. Now it's in the Valley. And they handled Tom Petty, Billy Idol, Tracy Altman, a couple others. I think they even had a couple actors too, like Rob Lowe. And so Harland was walking down the hallway of East End Management with his brand new, you know, svelte body. And Tom Petty's smoking a cigarette, walking down the hall in the other direction. He looks at Harland. He says, "Holy crap! This is my Tom Petty, everybody. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You wait. I'll be doing my Springsteen before you know it." Mm-hmm. I'm going on tour in like 4 months and I'm fat. Nobody likes a fat rocker. How did you get in shape? He said, call Tony Horton. And so he said, who's Tony Horton? He goes, Tony Horton's the guy that got me in shape. So day or two later, phone rings in my crappy little two-bedroom apartment in Santa Monica with the view of the convalescent home. And Tom Petty calls up my roommate, Bob, who I came out here in 1980 with, says, hey man, somebody says they're Tom Petty on the phone. And so I said, hang up, because it's Tom Petty's not calling my house, not calling our apartment. So he hung up on Tom Petty. And then the phone rang again. Tom goes, hey, I think we got disconnected. This is Tom Petty. And so Bob goes, dude, this sounds a hell of a lie. It's a hell of an impression. We have some buddies down below, who live below us, we're real pranksters. I thought it was them. And so I said, give me the phone. I said, hello, who is this? It's Tom Petty. I'm a friend of Harland Goodman, and I'm fat, and I'm going on tour, and can you help me out? And I was like, holy crap, Bob, it's Tom Petty. So with it, the next day, he lived in Woodland Hills. He had this rocking little incredible pad, you know what I mean, as any rocker would have. And I go in there, and there's gold and platinum records on the wall. And Tom comes out, and he puts out his cigarette, and he goes, I don't really exercise, but I apparently, according to my management, Tony Dimitriotis was his manager, and was his manager all the way up to the day he passed away back in October 2017. And so, you know, he didn't have any equipment. So it was just a consultation, maybe did some push-ups and crunches, but I got him a heavy bag. I got him some dumbbells. I got him a bench. I got him a mat. And I remember the first time we had all the equipment. And I talk about this on stage sometimes. I talk about it in the book. So, you know, here's a guy who never, you know, he just played guitar and sang and, you know, and he had a pretty good life. And so I put him on the old life cycles, which were, you know, back in the day, those things are relics now, but I put it on level 3. It went to level 1 to 12, right? And I used to do levels 6, 7, 8, 9 or whatever. I put him on 3 and his legs went like barely got around. So I put it on 1, nothing. So I just turned it off, took the tension off, and he looked at me and went, oh yeah, that's better. You know what I mean? Literally, it was like nothing.
I remember when it was off because I used to do that too when I first got to the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was a kid.
You know, you look like you're doing something, right? Hi, girls. How are you? I'm on the life cycle, level 0. Like, you know, the panel is blank, right? And he lasted for a minute, 32 seconds or something. I don't know, with it off. And I went, oh my God. I handed him a couple of 12-pound dumbbells as a bench press, and his arms went brrr in every which direction. You know, I thought I was going to dislocate his shoulder. But, you know, it was a rough go there. I mean, he had to start from scratch. But at the end of 4 months, he's benching 45 sets of 12 and 15. He's on the life cycle level 6 for 25 minutes, you know, doing spin kicks on the heavy bag. And you know, got lean because he was an ectomorph. You know, ectomorphs are naturally thin guys, probably from cigarettes and weed or whatever else he was doing. But I got him yoked. I mean, I got him striated and vascular, and I got his heart, lungs, and legs in shape they had never been before. So he went on tour, and then I caught up with him for the Madison Square Garden, Jersey, Long Island part of the tour, you know, in July again, he said, "Hey, I'm getting fat again. Come and join me on tour." So that was, that was awesome. Just to be up in the rafters with my laminate, you know what I mean?
And oh my God. That must have been amazing. People would
look at you like, "What do you do?" Well, I train Tom, you know? So it was really, it was easier then.
And then after that, of course, then everybody noticed Tom, and then everyone started calling you, and your life changed for the better.
Yeah. And then Billy Idol called, and Bruce Springsteen, and then Stephen Stills couldn't help him. Annie Lennox, who was just, you know, phenomenal. I mean, there was a period there, and I've told the story more than once, but when Bruce was in town, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, on and off, I'd have Billy Idol first, Tom Petty, then I go to Annie Lennox's house, which was around the corner from him, and then I go to Stephen Stills and then Bruce after that, or sometimes Stephen and Bruce would interchange. So I was keeping rock and roll from the 60s and 70s alive. You're welcome. Okay.
Literally.
Literally. And it was a blast. But, you know, I mean, whatever. You're training one person at a time and you're spending an hour and a half with them. And then you got to go from wherever, Century City to Malibu to Beverly Hills.
It was a hustle.
But amazing times. I mean, I wish I had, you know, there was no phones, no internet. That's how far back that all went. I wish I had, because I could do chapters. I could do a 50-page chapter on Stephen Stills alone, man. It was just amazing, crazy stuff, right? Just fun, though. Really fun.
That's how it all got started. And then I think the thing that kind of really changed your trajectory was P90X. How did P90X come into the world? Because I remember hearing it. I bought it. My friend bought it. He went all in. Like, he bought the supplements from Beachbody, and he became a seller of the process of the product.
Coach, yeah.
Yeah, he became a coach, and he was like hardcore in it. So I saw him change. I'm like, well, what is this? And then I got it, and then I started taking it, and he's like, dude, it's no joke. I'm just letting you know, it's no joke. This is like, it's for serious people. And after that first workout, you just like on the floor, just can't move. But as long as you keep going, it worked. But I mean, everybody heard P90X was like, it almost became like Xerox or Zoom. It almost became the word for an intense workout. I'm like, oh, I got P90X this, or I got it. Like, it was such an almost cultural in the zeitgeist of
it became part society. Of the lexicon.
Right. You
know, I mean, everybody knew about it. And it was weird because, you know, to make a long story good, you know, I mean, here I was, and I just met the now CEO of Beachbody, Carl Dykla, through a mutual friend, and we started training and hanging out together, and Carl was working for this guy, this mutual friend, Ben Vandebunt, and they were working for Guthy Renker. Now, Guthy Renker at that time was pretty well-known infomercial company, probably the biggest in the world at the time, and Carl was doing infomercials for things that he didn't really want to do. And then, you know, as we became friends, he just turned to those guys and he said, "Hey, I want to do some fitness and I want to work with Tony and we want to do this thing called Great Body Guaranteed." And they were the short little 15, 18 minute routines. And in the infomercial world, you know, it's as brutal as anything because, you know, you got 100 people that want to create whatever it is, Ginsu knives or Total Gym or Zumba or whatever heck it is.
What was that thing Suzanne Somer sold? The Thighmaster.
I was in that commercial.
Thighmaster.
I'm in the commercial where I'm using it. I'm using it as a bicep curl.
Right.
Right. And I'm looking at this girl and she's using it as a bust enhancement thing. We're looking at each other. We're about to do it. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it's like about a
Suzanne did okay with that
segment.
Yeah. Suzanne did okay with that.
One of my many acting gigs, you know what I mean? way back in the day. And so a lot of it was crap. You know, there was a lot of stuff out there that was just a means to make money and, right, you know, try to fool people into buying silly crap that ends up at the bottom of their driveway in a garage sale or whatever, 6 months to 2 years later. But Carl, you know, Carl had worked out with me and he had seen what I had done and he had seen what I had done with Petty and Idol and Bruce and others. And he said, "I think there's a way that I can kind of configure a show that we could tell people that, hey, if you do the real thing, it'll work." Now, Great Body Guaranteed was an abbreviated mini version of what P90X eventually was. It was regular exercise in a diet plan, but it wasn't really more than that. And in the infomercial world, if you've got 100 people trying to sell something, one or two will get into the second week. You know what I mean? Because you got to spend money on that media every week, whether they're local spots or like national spots are crazy expensive. especially a lot of these infomercials are 27 minutes. You know what I mean? It's not like a half a minute spot or something.
Right.
So they're really expensive. And, you know, usually they're at 4 o'clock in the morning in Poughkeepsie, New York, and then, you know, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and in Phoenix, Arizona. That's like, okay, you take the dice, you're going to roll it. And every time we rolled the dice with media, it worked. People just saw that it wasn't bullshit. It was the real thing, you know? And so with some success there, everybody said, like, who's this Carl Daikeler guy? You know, I mean, he was the creator of 8-Minute Abs. He was the original 8-Minute Ad guy. So he had a reputation in the industry. And then he said, let's do, like, what do you do with Petty and Idol and these guys? Like, can you explain these routines to me and why they got great results and your other clients? And I said, you know, we spend about 45 minutes to an hour and a half busting ass and working hard. And I tell them to get on the fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, and healthy fats, and get off the hooch and get off the fat, sugar, salt, and chemicals and processed food and fast food. That's what we do. And he said, let's come up with something that. So we came up with Power 90. Now, keep in mind, at that point in my life, I was living in the same apartment for 21 and a half years in Santa Monica with a view of the convalescent home, right? Like where my car got broken into every Thursday night, whether it needed to be or not. I mean, it was just
rent control, right?
Rent control. So my rent didn't change
Only way that could happen. So everyone listening, right. You can't live in Santa Monica for 21 years anymore.
No, man. Things have changed dramatically since. But yeah. We came up with it. I said, you know, it was his idea. He called it Power 90. It was a 90-day program. This is before P90X, right? And so, you know, I'm $65,000 in debt. I got two broken down cars. The only reason why I have two cars is because one would break down and I'd have to go to, you know, getting the other one to go drive all over town to train my clients and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we made the thing. And for the first, I don't know, 9 months to a year, it didn't do much because people saw, wow, this is working out 5 to 6 days a week. I'd eat right. And a lot of people got turned off by that. But this is the advent of the internet. Now, think about it. The people were – they weren't shooting videos here anymore. They were shooting videos in their hand. They were communicating, you know, via chat rooms and stuff. And they were communicating with us just saying, hey, look, this thing works. You should see these before and after pictures. And they're submitting their videos and their before and after pictures. And so we stopped using the test group footage and before and afters. And we were just using regular people's stuff. We just integrated that into the infomercial. And so, you know, here I was. I had a gig. Power 90 was different than Great Body Guarantee because I was getting royalties and I had an attorney and I was, you know, doing grown up stuff. And the first royalty checks were, you know, $150, you know, $380. So out of the blue, like a month, like, oh, this is money for nothing and chicks for free. As
Dire Straits said.
Dire Straits said, thank you for that. And then once the before and after pictures and the video started coming in and we were using that in the infomercial, it was, you know, kind of flatlining, and then it went through the roof, and I bought a house, and I bought a car, and I got out of debt, and, you know, I mean, I went from a crap hole to a 5-bedroom place on Sentinella, you know, with a view of the Hollywood sign from Santa Monica. I mean, I didn't have any money for furniture, so every time you walked into a room, it was like, hey, this is the bedroom, you know, I mean, it was, then we did P90X, you know, we saw that the effect of Power 90. And then P90X, again, same thing. Harder, longer, tougher, 6 days a week, more restricted diet. Like I told Carl, I said, I think you're out of your mind, dude. Power 90 was hard enough. You're going to make it harder? I mean, you know, day one is 24 sets of chest and back. And then the next day is plyometrics. And on the third day, it's in the mail back to us quite often. You know what I mean? Or on the right. Shelf.
The refunds are coming in at that point.
2 days in a row. What am I? What am I, a Marine? What are you out of your mind? But a lot of people were like, wow, I can do this much work in my basement, in my garage, in my living room, watching my television and my boxer shorts. And I don't have to get in a car and go to the gym and sit on somebody else's sweaty sweat. I can do all this stuff. And look at all the variety, the Pilates, the yoga, the plyometrics, the HIIT training, the body weight training, the weight training, pull-ups. I mean, pull-ups in a home workout thing was a total anomaly, brand new. And so that thing happened and, you know, good night, Irene. It was
– And it went and took off from there.
Global.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you wrote a book called The Big Picture. Can you tell me a little bit about that book and why you wrote it?
Well – I mean, you know, like I said, if you look behind me, it was personal development that really helped me understand how to be a better man financially, as far as relationships, as far as, you know. And when I say personal development, I learned partway through that, you know, self-help is one way to look at it. But really, when you really delve into personal development, you learn over the course of time that it's not about you at all. It's about you learning how to get your act together enough so that, it's really about whatever you can offer to other people based on your experience and your knowledge and your life. And so that's how I got to this point. You know, that's how I was able to find the woman of my dreams. That's how I was able to get my finances together even during hard times. It was based on a lot of the stuff back here. It was learning about mindfulness. You know, I mean, a lot of the personal development books I did were very esoterical, spiritual, ethereal type stuff. Not only the nuts and bolts of how to make more money. You know what I mean? It was, mm-hmm. I was trying to find balance. You know, as a human being, because I went from a lazy procrastinator who never got anything done, who could, you know, barely feed himself when I came out here, to a super stressed out, pretty successful guy. And so, you know, it's been a long journey. And I understand that exercise in general and maintaining a good diet is very, very difficult for a lot of people, even if they have all the tools. I can hand you the entire toolbox, but you have to use it. And so there are elements that we're missing in the average person's journey when it came for them to eat better and exercise for the rest of their lives. Because most people are, it's a kind of a hit and miss, or it's temporary, and it's too much about ego, and it's too much about aesthetics, and it's too much about the before and after pictures, and not about you and the quality of your life so that you can be a better human being for other people, right? So that's really why I wrote The Big Picture. I mean, the title says it all, right? So And so there's a lot of nuance in there that are literally stolen from half of the stuff back here. But in my, you know, I sprinkle kind of look at it. And so the first one is do your best and forget the rest, right? And, you know, I made a whole chapter based on a single trademark phrase that I came up with years and years ago. And do your best and forget the rest is about, well, what is today going to bring? You know, the biorhythms are going to be different. It's storming outside. Your kid just put a tattoo on his forehead. I mean, life changes instantly based on tragedy and circumstance and the temperature outside, any number of things. And so what do you need to do? How can you process all this stuff and still show up for your workout and still manage to eat pretty well and still have some fun once in a while? And where does mindfulness fit in? And where does supplementation fit in? And what kind of diet works best for you and who you are? Are you an ectomorph, a mesomorph, an endomorph? I mean, you know, your parents had sex, they made you. You're going to be one of these three things or a combination of that. And so if you're trying to be this big, strong bodybuilder guy, but you're really kind of custom made to be a runner, then you should understand that about yourself and know that there are limitations based purely on your genetics. But the quality of our life, the longevity of our life, the ability to avoid the aches and pains and fatigue and self-imposed problems that we have are relate to three things. It's your genetics, it's your behavior, and your environment. Those are the three things that are going to kind of dictate how your day, your week, your month, your life is going to go. And so I talk about all those things in the book, and I help people understand that if you really want to thrive as opposed to survive like everybody else, then this lifestyle, this thing that involves regular exercise, healthy food, supplementation, and a mindfulness practice has to happen all the time. Like people say, well, how often do I – all the time. All the time. How often do you go to work? All the time. Because you want to get paid. All the time. How often do you go to sleep at night? Kind of all the time. So that like, oh, take 48 hours and not sleep. It's going to go to shit. All right? I'm going to skip the next day and a half. It's not all – so – there's a bunch of all the time stuff that we do to survive, right? Oh, I can pay my bills and I can get by and I can have a couple of beers and watch the game with the kids. But, you know, tick tock, your 50s, 60s, 70s and 80s are coming. And you know, as a 63-year-old, I practice what I preach, unlike a lot of people in my field who do it temporarily because they got a gig or they're going to shoot something. So their weight fluctuates like everybody else. I like feeling good. I mean, the joy of the pursuit of happiness is in the freaking Constitution. Mm-hmm. So I do this because I am a happier, higher functioning, have less pain, less fatigue. I'm more in the moment. And it's not about it's about me. I mean, come on.
I get it.
But still, it's really about, I love meeting people anywhere and everywhere who say, hey, you changed my life. And you know, my answer is always the same. The hammer doesn't build the house. I handed you the toolbox and you used the damn thing. And there were other toolboxes that were handed to you in the past and you didn't use them. So I'm doing something right because finally it's starting to sink in. And so when I see people who go from the survival stage to the thrive stage and they stay that way for for years and decades, then man, oh man, I've done my job.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
I mean, the one thing, and this is for everyone listening, you know, when you're younger, man, you just do whatever you want because you think it's that this road is going to just get, this car is just going to keep going this way. Mm-hmm. And Baryshnikov has one of the greatest quotes about this is, when you're young, you challenge your body. And when you get older, your body challenges you. And it's such an amazing quote because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 46 and I feel pains and I feel aches and I feel things. And I'm not, you know, I've broken my ankles 1,000 times. So that's where my pains are. But, you know, I can't even imagine what these NFL guys are, you know, they walk up, they can't barely move because all their cartilage is broken and stuff. But even if you just a standard state, you see someone like yourself at 63. I remember looking at my grandfather at 63 or my uncles at 63. They didn't look like you. You know, that's generally not the way they looked.
Well, I have good lighting in here, by the way.
Obviously, we're – and I'll fix it more.
Go on. No,
I know it's all fuzzy, so it kind of just really looks good. So don't worry about
it. HD, not a fan.
No, not that 4K. That 4K is going to kill us.
As I am, as strong as I am, they're still creping in various places.
Okay? Exactly.
So not much you can do.
We'll fix it in post.
I look down at my leg and I go, I got a freaking moisturize.
We'll fix it in post. Don't worry about it. But as you get older, these things change, and only as you start hitting your 40s. Like I felt things in my 30s that you could do in your 20s. I talk to 25-year-olds now. I'm just literally sometimes I'll talk to a 25-year-old and we'll start have this conversation. I'm like, "Do you feel like you did when you were 18?" He's like, "No, I don't." I'm like, "It's going to get much worse."
Oh my God. Yeah. 25-year-olds complaining about 18.
Exactly. That's like, Are you kidding me?
But here's the thing. I mean, at 63, there's a whole bunch of things that I do now to mitigate the aches and the pain and the fatigue that I didn't need to do when I was a kid.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's – I mean, I've been vegan here now again. This is my third attempt, and this one's working well because I've done vegan before and cheated and did too many carbs and ended up malnourished and sick and tired. But now I've got it kind of wired. You know what I mean? It's a big salad every day. It's a certain kind of shake in the morning. It's shake in the afternoon. And just freaking vegetables, like vegetables that I like to eat, that I cook and I eat them. So that's part of it. Of course, you know, there's foam rolling and Theraguns and Epsom salt baths and infrared saunas. And you look at LeBron James, like, why is he still so friggin' yoked and so strong and so powerful? Is because for every hour that he trains or plays ball, there's 2 hours of rehab that goes into that. You know what I mean? And a lot of young players, like, they just do it purely based on athleticism and skill and having been great athletes. I mean, I worked with a football player, an NFL guy for a while a couple of years ago, genetically so gifted, but man, he liked to party like it was 1999. You know what I mean? And so his career ended and it didn't have to. I mean, he could have been in a Hall of Famer, but he just – too much using party as a verb, man. I get caught up to him. And like that, what you said, that Baryshnikov quote, at 63, I challenge myself more than ever, more than I did in my 20s, 30s, and 40s. I mean, I'm doing lachets on a ninja course in the backyard last Sunday. You know what I mean? Like swinging from crap and releasing and flying through the air and grabbing really hard things to grab. And, you know, did I fall on my back 4 or 5 times? Yes, but I had a pad, and so you know that's what's cool. A lot of people my age, like I see, you know, I'm not going to say whatever, but I meet peers, and I go, "Oh, how are you?" Assuming they're going to say 77 or something, and they go, "Oh, I'm 60, 61."
I'm 52. I'm 52.
Look like ass. I mean, shocking. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to. You don't have to.
I mean, I've been vegan for about 10 years, and it's – I've been able to make it work comfortably. I need to balance it a little bit more as far as the carb aspect of things, because you could eat Oreo cookies every day and consider yourself a vegan.
Still vegan, baby.
Still vegan. French fries, vegan. Yeah. You know, so there's the junk food vegan, like white bread vegan. So it's all about eating the proper nutrient dense foods and balancing it out and things like that. But you said something earlier about mindfulness. What is your definition of mindfulness?
Oh, wow. It could be any number of things. I mean, most people think mindfulness, they think of meditation. It's kind of one of the first things. Or yoga is mindful, you know, different kinds of like a yin yoga practice or something. But mindfulness is anything and everything that puts you in the present moment. You know, where you're not thinking about the past. You're not making comparisons to yourself and you're not wondering about your expectations of the future. It's literally something where you feel so present. And you can be jumping rope and be mindful, you know, even though it's intense cardiovascular exercise where your heart rate's up and you're sweating your ass off, you know. So, you know, mindfulness is walking your dog or going for walks or meditation or breathing exercises or in the garden, you know, just hanging out or playing, you know, some just kicking back and, you know, listening to music or reading a book. You know, I mean, I'm reading this book, Breath, by James Nestor right now. And so fascinating book. And so anytime you read, you're being mindful to a certain extent. You know, it's really whatever it is that you're doing that's the opposite of something that is physically, mentally, and emotionally stressful. So exercise, even though it's physical, it's affecting you in a positive way mentally and emotionally, instantaneously because of the norepinephrine, dopamine, serotonin, brain-derived neurotropic factor that goes into your temporal lobe that changes your perspective, your cognition, your memory, your sex drive, all of that stuff. That's what exercise does. Most people are exercising with the hope they end up with some sort of aesthetic, ego-based, physical appearance shift. Mm-hmm. But a yoga class or cardio or any kind of weight training literally changes the way your brain functions 10, 15 minutes into the process of doing that, right? So that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, so the endorphins.
Exercise can be mindful to a certain extent.
Right.
But the pendulum, most people's pendulum is living over here, right, in stressed out land, right? And so the candle's burning out at both ends and you can't figure out why you ended up with shingles in your ear. You know what I mean? It's just because you didn't learn to chill, dude. You got to learn to chill. You got to learn to laugh. You got to learn to relax. You got to go out and buy yourself a damn hammock and lay in it. You got to – you know what I mean? You need to get in the tub. Like I've had seminars here at my house. How many people have a tub in their house? And some people don't, but most do. When was the last time you were in it? Never been in it. Been living in my house 13 years. You've never been in your flipping tub? Are you freaking kidding me? Like people are so freaking uptight and they're so impatient that the thought of filling a tub with warm water and some Epsom salts and lying there for 15 minutes seems like they're wasting their time. And so LeBron James is on my meditation app. He's on my Calm app. Like he gets it. You know what I mean? And more people are understanding that because exercise in general, it's part of breaking down muscle and putting pressure on joints and bones and things. So sleeping is truly for most people, the only mindfulness practice they have. And usually their circadian cycles are so out of whack because they don't go to bed at the same time and they're not dealing with the stuff. So their head is filled with all this crap as they lie in bed. And so they're wide awake and then they have to get up and pee and they're mouth breathers. So their mouth is wide open. So there's tooth decay and gum erosion and all these things. So when you learn the basics about the balance between regular exercise, good nutrition, supplementation that helps with the healing process and the recovery process and learning how to chill out, like those are the I'm doing a program now called the Power of Four. And in the past, it's just been sort of the power of two, diet and exercise. And now we're adding, you know, supplementation is part of a lot of my programs. But the mindfulness thing is kind of new. And it's an important leg to keep you, you know, from getting hurt and from you coming back and having enough energy and keeping your stress at bay.
Do you meditate?
Every day, sometimes four times a day.
And how long do you normally meditate for?
The longest I'll go is a half hour, but sometimes 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. So you just something to kind of
just something quiet. First thing in the morning and at night. I mean, I have something called bilateral vestibular hypofunction because I had Ramsey-Hunt syndrome in October of 2017, which is shingles in my ear. So I had nerve damage in my brain. So I had Bell's palsy and I had hearing damage, vision damage. And I had, you know, like a lot of people who get COVID, they lose their taste and smell. All I could taste was dirt and smell cigarettes for months from this Ramsey-Hunt thing, which was weird. Like, who's smoking? Nobody's smoking. How come this oatmeal smells like tastes like dirt? It's the way the nerves are fried and they're pissed off because you got shingles in your ear. And so as a result of the and I'll have bilateral vestibular hypofunction for the rest of my life. Will it ever be an 8, 9, or 10 again? God, I hope not. Knock on wood. It hasn't been. But sometimes it's a level 1, 2, 3, last week after my vaccination. Mm. It had an effect on me a little bit. And for about 4 days, I was loopy. I mean, I was like a drunken sailor on a cruise ship in a hurricane. You know what I mean? Like, whoa, people now. You know what I mean? So it comes and goes, but the meditation really quells it quite a bit.
Now, in your book, you also talk a lot about being fearful. You were a very fearful young man and growing up, and it was almost your default emotion on almost everything, which I found fascinating because obviously your public persona is very, you know, strong and confident and energy. And I know it took you a minute to get there.
I'm frightened to death right now.
I'm terrified of my shadow. No, I understand. It takes you a minute, especially when you're younger. When you're younger, you're afraid of what people think and how do I look and can I want to be picked for the, I don't want to be the last one picked. And does that girl like me? And there's all of those energies. As far as a guy is concerned, I can't talk for a female perspective on that fear. There's other fears on the female side of things. But as a male, I get all that. But you took it to another extent because you were like literally like everything was fearful to you. How did you confront those fears? And how do you confront fears today? Because we still all have fear. Fear is one of those diseases that the human experience that we have to deal with fear and still get to where we're going to go. Because I'm assuming there was fear with all the stuff that you did. Like I'm assuming when you went to go train Tom Petty, there was probably some fear involved, especially when you almost busted his shoulder open. Like, yeah, like I'm assuming like, am I going to kill Tom Petty? Am I the dude that's going to kill Tom Petty? Like, I'm sure there was some fear. So how did you break through all those fear? How do you confront fear in general?
Well, I mean, it came back to the personal development, you know, honestly. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any tools to deal with anything. And so when I read a lot of these books, I mean, every one of them, that they're all rabbit-eared and there's underlined and highlighted and everything else. And I would write, I didn't have a dream board, but it was a board filled with little quotes from various authors that were really kind of blowing my mind. And so I practiced that, you know, deal with my speech impediment. And when I get going or I'm a little bit tired, it'll happen again. I found techniques to help me slow down. And one of the reasons why I had a speech impediment is A, I didn't have a big enough vocabulary to be able to express myself the way I wanted to. So quite often I was searching for words that I didn't have. And so I worked on my vocabulary. And number two was I would take an old tape recorder and I would read whatever, anything, newspaper, magazines, books, and I would read out loud into the tape recorder. And then I'll still be on stage and I'll have a little fumble and then I'll just do a joke where if I say, and then, hold on everybody, what I meant to say more articulately and more succinctly goes like this, right? So, and I think the number one thing that really helped me too was being a young actor and getting up in front of other, you know, in front of the teacher and in front of other actors and learning those lines and taking on a character, you know, whether it was, you know, a scene from Raging Bull or whatever it would be. And I was doing improv comedy. So you have to kind of think on your feet.
Yeah.
Right. And I was with Second City LA for about a year and did a fantastic Columbo, I got to tell you. And
It's a bit dated. I'm just that and Kojak. Are you doing a Kojak too?
You Google that, guys. And I was doing stand-up comedy for 2 years.
Right.
Yeah, I was attempting to do stand-up comedy for 2 years, which is an absolute butt-kicking.
Oh, you know,
I thought I was a screaming laugh factory. Mm-mm. And then you get up there and you show up at 9 and you get the list and you're on at 1:15 a.m. and you're outside, everybody's smoking cigarettes, a bunch of wannabe comics all trying to make sure they laugh, and watch you just want to kill yourself. Like, I'm out here with these friggin' a-holes, right? And then you get your spot, there's four people left in the audience and they are wasted and they're throwing crap at you. You know, that'll thicken your skin. And so I took the personal development and I took, you know, and moving from Connecticut and being around that whole energy and vibe and, you know, the tri-state area, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, and I all the way out to California, everything just felt different here. It felt more optimistic here. And I felt like I could reinvent myself here. And so this is decades and decades of personal development. And there were a lot of opportunities that came my way when I first came out here and I blew them. Mm-hmm. Right? There was a really cool project where these two young entrepreneurs met me. They knew me from the gym, and my first real gig was with Nordic Track up in Minnesota, where I would go back and forth between here and there. And I was a trainer at that point, and I was a young actor at that point, and I could walk and chew gum, meaning I could look fit, I could talk about exercise science, and I could read the teleprompter without too many takes. And they liked that, you know, because actors didn't look the part, didn't know what they were talking about. And then a lot of fitness folks couldn't learn the lines or read the prompter and hit their mark. It was a hellscape for Nordic Track. So they hired me quite a bit. And that's how I got more comfortable in front of a camera. And then I got a show on Playboy, on the Playboy channel called 360. And I was fully clothed, by the way. But we were kind of like an Entertainment Tonight for the Playboy channel. And, you know, they would do these, we'd do these little segments. And then Tracy Tweed, who was Shannon Tweed, if you know anything about, they were playmates.
Oh, I remember.
Tracy was very funny and very animated. And we would do these sketches to open up the show. And so, and that was a three camera show, right? So, all right, Tony, you're going to start on camera one. You're going to turn to Tracy. Then you're going to go to three. Then back to Tracy, go to two. And then you're going to finish on one again. Whoa, what is happening here? So these are just all skills that happened over the course of time. So when it finally came to doing Power 90, well, Great Body Guaranteed, which I was still a little bit green. I wasn't really quite sure under those. It was different. And then by Power 90, more confident. By P90X and X2 and X3 and 22-minute hardcore, you know what I mean? And doing workouts in front of tens of thousands of people, it all just got easy over time, you know?
Now, how do you change what advice do you have for changing mindset? Because that is the most powerful thing you have to make any sort of transformation in your life, whether that be physical, mental, spiritual, whatever that is. It's mindset. It's all about mindset. Like you've just said, I've given people the tools, but if they don't do it, it's your mind that stops you. It's that voice inside your head going, you're never going to look like Tony. I mean, why are you going to do this? Like after the first win, like this is too hard. Just go back to eating Twinkies. I mean, why are you even doing this? That voice is always inside of us fighting. So how do you change that mindset? Or what advice do you have for that?
Well, you know, and it's funny that you bring up mindset because when you look at the power of four, even though there are four, right, food, fitness, supplementation, and mindfulness, mindset is really sort of the youngest brother of it. You know, I talk about mindset a lot. Mindset is just attitude. Like, why do you believe what you believe? Like, what has gotten so ingrained inside of your noggin that you believe that you're not going to be able to look like me or be as fit as me? Right. And like, so right. what I had to do, I had to break that down through personal development and understanding that a lot of this has to do with not only your upbringing and your peers and the things that you've learned from, you know, from when you were a little kid right up through the present, is how do you abandon these things that no longer serve you? And so that's one thing. And that takes, like, for example, me, it's about abandoning certain things that don't serve me and understanding that and seeing that. Right. And that involves people. Like I learned a long time ago that why would I want to have boneheads and finger pointers and wannabes and naysayers in my life? Like I got no problem. Oh, you're hungover again and you're not going to make the workout. Guess what? When you get your act together and you're off the hooch and you've been through AA, you can come back because I don't need you're an anchor in my world. Bye bye. Right. So that's one thing. And you know, you are the five people you hang around the most. You are your company. So hang out with badasses and rock stars and superheroes and go-getters and people who want to take that hill, soldier. You know what I mean? And that's who I have in my life. So a lot of it has to do with just, you know, and if it's your sister and your brother and your father and your mother, then you just have to figure out ways to say no to them more often and to tell them how you truly feel about their bullshit. You got to stand up for yourself. You know, and I had a conversation with a dear friend of mine who they're using his image to make money. And he's getting like bupkis. And I said, how much does the shirt cost? How much are they getting and how much are you getting? Answer that question. He goes, are you kidding me? You're an adult male and you did a deal with a guy just because you want to have your picture on a t-shirt so people could wear it. And like, dude, no. I said, guess what? You get to come back here and work out with me again when you've answered those three questions and you've made a better deal for yourself. And if you haven't, then you're not invited back here again. So I never had people like that in my life. I never had some hardcore direct mentor teacher coaches. So that's what I become. But I had to learn all this stuff on my own. Because my dad was on the road Monday through Friday, right? And with his business. And on the weekends, I carried his golf clubs. You know what I mean? So that was whatever. I mean, he did what he could. He provided a great life. He paid for my college. He took us skiing when we were kids. But he didn't know how to mentor me and show me. So these are all self-taught stuff. But mindset is everything. It really – it's about as much – it's learning from – for me, it was books, teachers and coaches – taking on those strategies, hanging out with them, reading as many autobiographical stories, books, people as possible. Like, who are the superheroes in the world? Who are the people who have kicked ass? Who are the people who came from nothing and really achieved great things? Just do what they did. What did they do? Learn from them. And if they happen to be in your life, and if I happen to be in your life and you can learn from me, great. Otherwise, you got to figure that out. And you also have to figure out what you need to eliminate that no longer works. And then you have a brand new mindset. You have truly have reinvented yourself at that point.
Now, you were talking about you talked about a lot about physicality and mindfulness and mindset and all this stuff. How do you balance everything? Like, what advice do you have for people on how to just create balance in your life? So like a perfect example is like what you're saying with LeBron. Like, he works out for an hour, but then, you know, balances it off with 2 hours of rehab. And that's how he's able to keep that body in the shape that he's at. There's a balance there where there's that other NFL guy you were saying, like, he had no balance. He'd work out, he was gifted, but then he'd just burn himself out by partying. There's no balance in his life. What advice do you have for people to try to maintain some balance in their life?
Purpose, plan, priorities. Right? If your priority is to get high, guess what? You'll probably get high a lot. I mean, that's just like, oh, wow, I just want to get high because my life sucks and I don't want to deal with things. And there's nothing wrong with getting high. I mean, it's legal. I think it's certainly better than alcohol for a lot of reasons, but people abuse it. You know what I mean? Like, it alters your state. If you're using a source outside of yourself, whether it's weed or alcohol or food or porn or whatever your thing is, man, then that's going to take away a lot of your opportunities because you're just using these sources outside of yourself. If you're the source that generates the chemical shift that's happening inside of your brain, then you're going to have more energy and enthusiasm. So there's a lot of P's and a lot of E's. You're going to have enough energy and enthusiasm to be able to do the things that you want to do. You'll be able to prioritize, you know, where do I want to put my time and energy? You know what I mean? Like, I want to thrive. What does that look like? How do I prioritize? What are the activities? Who are the people? What do I need to read? What do I need to do? What time do I need to go to bed? What time do I need to get up? What kind of foods, what kind of supplements do I need to take to be able to prioritize on a regular basis? And a purpose is like, you know, you can find balance if you know who you are, if you know why you're here. You know what I mean? There's a great story of a guy who had a wife and 3 kids. He was an accountant. He was a numbers guy. He worked for this big firm, and he worked in a cubicle looking at a wall with a fake fern. I mean, that was his life. You know what I mean? But he had a nice car and he had a nice home, and they went on vacation. It was all pretty fun. But this guy was a bike freak, mountain bikes, street bikes, beach bikes. He loved wheels and gears, and he was typically on Saturdays and Sundays for part of the day. And his wife was cool about it. He was at the bike shop, the local bike shop. And the bike shop's busy. It's a Saturday and Sunday, and the employees are busy. So he started giving everybody advice. They all thought, well, do you work here? And he goes, no, I'm just a bike freak. And I come down to say hello and meet people and talk about bikes. And then the manager said, dude, do you want a job? Because you're here almost long enough on a Saturday or Sunday to get paid, and we need the help. And you know more than half of my employees. And so he asked his wife. His wife said, you're down there anyway. You might as well get paid. And 5 years later, he owned the place. Right. So it just goes to show you that, you know, a lot of people have kind of crummy, crappy lives and they want to be in shape, but everything else outside of exercise and isn't that great. The relationships suck. They're overweight and garbage. Right. They don't know how to, they're not prioritizing and their purpose sucks. So I always tell people, if you're kind of stuck where you are, there's not much you can do because it's going to affect you negatively financially. What's your hobby? Go read Keith Ellis's book, The Magic Lamp. Because Keith Ellis's book, The Magic Lamp, shares with you the techniques to help you understand who you are and what you're really supposed to be doing. And if you're not able to do really, you know, like I want to fly. All right. Well, it's expensive and I got this other job and it's full time. Well, then what are the steps? Like, you know, how do you reverse engineer something? I want to climb Kilimanjaro. So what do? You just throw your shit in a suitcase and fly to Tanzania? No, man. And then start walking? You're probably going to die. All right. So when you reverse engineer something, like you see yourself on top of Kilimanjaro, right? There they are. Who's there? Like, what are you wearing? Like, who are the people around you? What's the temperature? Did it snow the night before? Like, create this image in your head. Just fantasy. What did the day before look like? Day before, like, we got like 1,000 feet to go and we're at the base camp and here's the tent I'm in and here's what the tent, you know what I mean? All the way to the point where you go, you know, I want to climb Kilimanjaro. How many steps before that? And then, you know, when you try to duplicate that, it ain't going to go the way you reverse engineered it. But it might be close, because in the meantime, part of your reverse engineering is talking to everybody you ever knew or whoever climbed the mountain, right? And so that's how you – I know I'm kind of going long-winded here. But it's prioritizing. Fitness is the foundation. If you eat right and you exercise and you take supplements and you get enough rest so your stress is down and you're dealing with your stress, then the oyster opens up. Otherwise, if you're overweight, you're overwhelmed. You know what I mean? It's just too hard. You're just barely getting through your day. So if you figure out, this is who I am. Now I got this cool hobby. Tony showed me how. Keith Ellis showed me how because I read the book. The hobby could become the accountant that turned into the guy who owned the bike shop. Or the hobby, you can keep your job because it's okay. But you've got this joy in your life because there's this other thing that you do. Maybe it's coin collecting. Maybe it's opening up a coffee shop on the weekend. Who the hell knows? But the book tells you how to get there. And then last but not least is accountability. You know what I mean? I think accountability is really important. How do you stay accountable? A lot of people are self-accountable. They can figure out their plan. You know, because we know what time we're going to get up. We know what time we're going to go breakfast. We know what time we have to get into traffic. We know what time we need to be at work. We know what time we have deadlines at work. So we have the deadlines, because if we don't have the deadlines, we get fired and then we can't pay our bills and we got to move into a van down by the river. OK, so we know what the consequences are.
Rest in peace, Chris Farley.
For screwing up. Yeah, thank you. I didn't do the whole thing. But, you know,
God, it was so good. That was so good.
Oh, and watching the other performers just crack up because they didn't know what's going
to
hit.
We're referring to an SNL skit that Chris Farley did, which was called The Man Living by the Van, Living in a Van Down by the River, which is one of the most classic SNL.
He was a motivational speaker.
He was the ultimate motivational. That's right.
So good.
Everyone's but I wanted to
purpose, plan, priority,
and accountability.
These things, they're all in the book. They're all in the big picture.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
I'll tell you what, I mean, when I, you know, for my, most of my career, I've been director in the film industry, but I also had a post-production company, but the post company was really what kept me alive. You know, I would direct every once in a while, but I would do post. I would do have clients, and I was never happy doing it. At the beginning you are, cause you're young, but after, you know, 10, 15 years, you start getting angry and you're like, I don't want to do this job, but if I don't pick up this gig, I'm not going to eat. And I was still in control. It was my company. So it was like this false sense of control. But I was still a slave to my clients. Not a slave to a boss or a company, but to my clients, which I didn't want to do a lot of times. Every one out of 20 projects I enjoyed. Till I finally decided, like, you know what I really want to do is I want to give podcasting as weird as, and then as like kind of like ridiculous as that sounds. Like, I want a podcast. I want to open up an online business. I want to help people doing that. And the moment that happened, everything changed in my entire life. I started, it took me a while. So I've been at this 6 years podcasting and having a blog and creating online courses and educating people and trying to help people along the way. And it has opened doors and I'm happy. I wake up in the morning at 4:30 every morning to come and work. My wife's like, you work like 12 to 14 hours a day. I'm like, but I'm happy. I'm happy doing it. And she's like, and I've been doing it for years. And she's like, I've never seen you as happy as I've been with you all for many, many years. You've never been happier than what you do now. You found your thing. And I'm like, yes, I found my thing. It took me until my 40s to find that thing. But when I found it, I went all in. And now I'm trying to help other people do it. So you're absolutely right. It's like, it's not about the money, man. It's just not. And now I do this full time. I finally got to a place where 4 years ago, I was like, I think I don't need to do posts anymore. So I shut my company down. Now I just 100% do this. I've been doing it in LA, which is not the cheapest state in the country.
And you know, it's really interesting what you're saying there, because I'm in the midst of transition now. I mean, I left Beachbody a little over 2.5 years ago, two years ago, whatever, April now, January, March, April. And, you know, it was a big trend. It was really hard because that wave was rocking. That was a beautiful wave. Beautiful. Right on top. You know what I mean? It's like next project after project, huge fan base. You know, the house I'm in now, I never would have thought I would have lived in a place like this ever. And then I have another joint in Jackson Hole. And of course, you know, but now I'm a slave to the overhead a little bit of all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. So because when you're making, you know, cuckoo money, you know, I'm buying $550 Prada shirts, like half a dozen at a time. You know what I mean? Like I was pulling a whole Wesley Snipes MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
What? How many features can I get on the most expensive car that manufacturer makes? You know what I mean? Let's put that on there. You know what I mean? And then like, and then the wave came in. And the reason why, I left Beachbody is like, why did Tom Brady leave the Patriots? Just wasn't working anymore. Simple. And you're looking over your shoulder. But fortunately, I've a lot of new gigs have come my way. So it's been hard, like much more work. Because before it was, hey, easy. Tony, here's what we want you to do. Go develop it. Take your time. Oh, okay. And then, that looks good. Let's put it through some test groups. Terrific. Everybody's getting results because you've been doing this shit for 1,000 years. So you know how to get results out of people. And then let's cast it. And then let's shoot it. And then you're done. And then you kick back and you wait for the royalty checks to come in. This is hiring and firing and, micromanaging and then lawyers. So many lawyers. Why so many lawyers? There's so many. I need a trademark lawyer. I thought, can't the regular? No, I don't do that. Always. And then there's another lawyer that does another thing that you didn't know you needed. You know what I mean? Like, wow, man. And so it's been a great learning curve. And I think to myself, do I want to downsize? Am I in that point in my career? No, I really like this house. I'm going to keep busting my ass. And the other things that, the place in Jackson, which, now I got renters in there because I have to. It's like you have to sort of adapt to your situation. But I feel like right now I'm in that place that you were in 3 years ago where I'm going to be 63 in a little while and I want to kind of be done. I mean, I don't want to be found on the internet in 3 years. Literally, I want to. That's my goal. No Instagram, no Twitter, no Facebook. See you later. And I'll figure out a way to communicate with people like the phone and stuff, or
email or something. Yeah.
And if I have a live event, we'll figure that out too. But it just kind of feels like I'm a slave to the overhead right now. And not that I don't love what I'm doing. I mean, I'm working with Tonal, which is amazing. I have my own supplement line, which is just, I never in my wildest dreams that I ever thought I'd have something like that. And it's super high quality stuff. And Tonal lets me kind of do what I want to do, which is pretty amazing.
Well, tell us about Power Life. Tell us about that.
Well, the whole time I was with Beachbody, I had my picture on one of the products, which means I used to get a little royalty check from that. Then they took my picture off and then they killed the product. And it's like, wow. So we've gone this far. Now we're moving backwards. It's one of the most popular supplements that they made and they just stopped making because they didn't want to pay me royalties. I don't ever really found out why. It just, a lot of that was happening. And, and there were so many other trainers in the quiver over there that like if one trainer got too much, privilege, then the other ones would all bitch and moan. It was this whole infighting thing. So it was just kind of time to go. And then one of the first conversations I had, and this is just after I got sick. So I was looking for supplements that had the type of nutrients and ingredients that kind of helped me come out of my illness. I lost 25 pounds. I mean, I was weak as a chicken and I had leaky gut. I didn't know what that was, but I just did, you know what I mean? So Epstein Barr, leaky gut, bilateral vestibular hypofunction. I mean, even Sean, I looked like a Sharpei, man. I was just the skin hanging off of me. It was pretty hideous. And these guys really worked on formulas that would not only help me, but a lot of other people who were aging, who are into their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And these products, this HMB and vitamin D and all these chromium and all these interesting ingredients in the protein powders help anybody and everybody that wants to start exercising and build some muscle and mass and stuff. And this is all based on some pretty new science. And then we came up with a Foundation 4, which was really designed for me and my leaky gut. So probiotics and prebiotics and sun fiber and 3 servings of vegetables. Really interesting mix of ingredients. There's my wife. There's my wife calling me. Hi, honey. I'm on a live podcast with Alex right now. No, we're having a great conversation. We're going to talk for 4 hours. She's like, I thought you'd be done by now. when they came along and now we've got 9 products, we got 4 or 5 in the quiver that are going to be coming out soon. And it's doing really, really well. And I'm really, really proud of it. And I take it all. I mean, because it was designed for me. Mm-hmm. And as a 63-year-old, this sarcopenia, which is also known as age-related muscle loss, is a real thing. Like it's very rare that you see jacked 80-year-olds. Because as the body gets older, it's just harder and harder to build muscle. And if you try, muscles will tear, right? I mean, I have a torn biceps tendon that I did about 7 or 8 years ago because I did something stupid. So I tore it. But And, you know, joints and tendons and ligaments and even muscles get pretty brittle, even for people who do everything right. So when you get the right compounds, the right nutrients that are in the right combination, you can still train pretty hard. I mean, I'm doing Lachaise on my ninja course last week, which means I'm flying through the air and grabbing onto something else. You know what I mean? It, which is not something people who are 63 usually do. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, my mindfulness practice, my, you know, all the other things that I do, the infrared sauna, the Epsom salt baths, the foam rolling and good sleep and mindfulness and like the meditation and everything. But the supplements are key, and they're key for me, and I want to keep going. I want to keep challenging myself. You know, I'm a skier, man. I want to heli skiing in my friggin' 90s because it's the most spectacular feeling I know of. So I want to keep doing it.
So what are the because I, you know, I've been taking some of your supplements, which are amazing. Your protein shake and your greens, your complete greens package, which are super nutrient dense. I've done a lot of research. They're very nutrient dense. Like we were saying before we got on air, you know, you can get protein on protein shake. There's literally thousands of protein shakes, plant based and whatever other base you want. But there's very few that are really nutrient dense that taste good, that have a lot of nutrients, but it tastes good. So between the protein and the, I mean, if you take just the protein and the greens, you're better than 95% of the of the U.S. population.
Those two are the base product. I put them both in the same shake in the morning. Now, you were telling me earlier that you use a shaker bottle. I put frozen blueberries, sometimes blueberries and strawberries. That's my base in the blender. I'll put raw organic walnuts in there. And then I'll put organic raw kale in there. And then some ice cubes to make it frothy. And that's my base. Then I put unsweetened vanilla flaxseed milk. Who knew you could milk a flaxseed? That's got to be hard. But these guys work hard to do that.
Does the flaxseed have a teat?
It has a teat.
Well, I have nipples.
Do I have a teat? Could you milk me? Yeah, there you go. Oh, my God. See, my buddy wrote that movie, man. Funny movie. He wrote the original screenplay, and then somebody else got credit. But he wrote what was the second one, the follow up for Meet the Fockers?
I forgot the other ones. But yeah, I got you. Anyway, so flaxseed.
We digress. But that's it. Talk about nutrient dense. Then I put right now I've been doing the vegan thing for about a month and a half. So in the morning I use the chocolate vegan formula, and then later in the afternoon, kind of a couple hours before dinner, or a couple hours or an hour or so after dinner, depending on how many calorie dense my dinner is, I go with the vanilla at night. So, and then I put the foundation four in twice a day, you know, because why not? You can't overdose on magnesium and sun fiber and probiotics and prebiotics and more servings of vegetables. So I double up, especially because I train so hard. I just need those nutrients. Even as a vegan, you know, sometimes I do the cauliflower pretzel cheat too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though
yeah.
it's vegan.
Exactly. Yeah, like we were saying earlier, Oreos.
But there's a performance formula, which is a pre-workout formula, which is really great. It's time released energy. It's super low, and it's like really low. It's like a half a cup of caffeine, a half a cup of coffee worth of caffeine, and it's distributed throughout the not only throughout your workout but throughout the day, which is just genius tech on a pre-workout. And then we have an endurance formula, which you take over time, that really help. So performance is kind of for HIIT training and plyo and right here and right now. I need that energy. But endurance is for long term. A lot of runners, people who run a lot, just love the fact that they don't bonk partway through the runs. There's a digest. There's a peak advantage formula. So there's a lot of different stuff. And then we're going to have post-workout and one that helps with hydration and others coming.
Now, what would you suggest older guys like myself? Let's say I have a friend named Bob. Bob, who's 46. What would you suggest for
Bob? You mean
Bob?
A punk kid. Young punk.
A young punk kid. But in regards to just like not only supplementation like with the products we just talked about, but just minerals and vitamins, what are supplements that you should take? Like I know – I mean our friend that we have in common, Zach, he suggested magnesium at night. He's been doing it for a decade, like taking a little extra magnesium at night, collagen. I found a vegan collagen that as helping with just the skin and the hair and the bones and all that kind of stuff. What are some other things that you would recommend besides a good multivitamin as well as the other supplements?
Well, some of my favorites are ginkgo biloba, which is really important for your mind, for cognition and memory and things like that. Ginkgo is really pretty powerful, simple, you know, the ginkgo plant. People, California, they're growing right in their yard, you know what I mean? But it's easier if it comes in a pill or a powder. Mm-hmm. CoQ10 is another one that's really kind of important for a lot of people. Now, what I would do, you know, the one thing about a fitness trainer giving supplement advice is that I have to be really tricky because everybody's different. Everybody's chemistry is different. Like yeah. I just had a genetic test based on the fact that it's different than like blood work or urine or poop or something where they kind of check, you know, your deficiencies or what you might need nutritionally, you know. So in the genetic thing, there's a lot of markers in my genetics that say, even though I'm doing really, really well when it comes to my diet and my exercise and supplements, there are certain things that I have to double and triple up on purely based on my own genetics. So there's a markers. It's usually a plus or minus sign that shows up on these various elements that are part of your genetics. And for me, I've got to take in 3 to 4 times more fish oils than the average person because my blood platelets are sticky. And you don't want it to be sticky. I wish I could give you the science behind that. So that kind of helps lubricate that for me. Also, I have markers for possible early onset Alzheimer's based on these tests, which is super awesome.
Yeah. For those of you not watching this video, Tony's face is fantastic.
What is your name? Who are we?
Where am I?
Yeah. Cuckoo. Am I the walrus?
Exactly.
So my whole thing is about being Johnny Sharp and on it, and quick and snappy and funny and hello and thinking, you know, using keeping words to communicate and disseminate.
Right,
didactic way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not in a pedantic way. And I cannot be the last thing I need to be is a malaprop. Okay.
That was at least $1.50 worth of words right there, sir.
That's $2.50 right there worth of nonsense. I think I was made a complete mess of whatever I said. So, you know, I mean, so I have to be really careful. I have to do, like, my wife and I get blood work every 6 months. They take out about a gallon and a half of blood out of us. You know, like a vampire just comes in and fills up, you know. Right. And so what I learned from that is, how do I need to adjust? What are my hormone issues? What is my estrogen, testosterone, free testosterone? And it ebbs and flows based on any number of things. Even though 6 months earlier she gave me X, Y, and Z to take, but biorhythms, age, barometric pressure, altitude, physical, mental, and
environmental
stress,
sure,
changes those formulas from month to month. She goes, you don't need that anymore. You can get off of that, but you're going to have to double up on your fish oils because of X, Y, and Z. So that comes from all these genetic tests and these blood tests.
And where do you get the genetic test? Because I know blood tests you can get pretty much anywhere, but where do you get the genetic test?
I get this through my nutritionist / endocrinologist, this woman, Heather Fitzgerald, here in town, dude. I'll tell you, she has helped me so much. This woman, her and this woman, Tammy Murphy out of upstate New York, did the same thing. She did 138 page marker on food and allergies and stuff. So for 3 months, no wheat, no soy, no corn, no dairy. Still, 2 years later, no wheat, no soy, no corn, no dairy. And people look at me and go, what's left? Well, there's a lot of really amazing foods out there. You just got to avoid those things. Plus, for 3 months, no sesame seeds, no onions, no cashews, no walnuts, no tomatoes. You know, it was a really interesting
mix. Was that nightshade, like nightshade?
Some of it was nightshades, but some nightshades I could have. It was really this amazing blood work. And then on top of eliminating certain foods, and this is because of the leaky gut, mostly leaky gut and Epstein-Barr. So Epstein-Barr is just, I'm tired. You know what I mean? And for who I am and what I do and the energy that I need, taking, you know, naps in the middle of the afternoon just weren't ideal. So I just had to solve those problems. So between Heather and Tammy and a lot of blood work and some peeing in a cup and then adding new supplements into my diet to help heal my leaky gut. Now, people don't even know what leaky gut is. It's super important because if you look at your intestines, right, if you look at the liner of your intestines, they're very porous. They're like these little fingers, right? It's not like this solid wall. And leaky gut is that whenever you eat food, it doesn't make its all the way. It doesn't make its way through the large and small intestine and out the back end. It starts to leak through your intestines into your bloodstream, which causes inflammation everywhere, from athlete's foot to irritable bowel syndrome, to arthritis, to tendonitis. You would think that, I'm doing too many bicep curls. No, you got leaky gut and how that affects, you know, joint pain and fatigue and you name it across the board. So once I healed my leaky gut, you know, through all these different things, then eventually I was able to have sesame seeds and tomatoes and other things again. But the no wheat, no soy, no corn, dairy, no wheat, soy, corn, and dairy, which is basically gluten in that mix, and the veganism, for me right now, you know,
it's working. It's
really good. Really good.
And I'll ask you one last question, sir. Why do you think we're here as a general statement, as human beings? This is a large question. In your opinion, why do you think you're here? If it's not for the whole humanity, why do you think you're here and your mission?
Look at you, Johnny Deep. Look at you.
I mean, the show is called Next Level Soul, sir. I mean, we have to kind of like figure out why we're here.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
It's going to take me maybe 3 minutes.
Sure. Go for it.
I was living in Santa Monica and I was broke and I went to the food co-op and I went and got some food and I came back and there was a flyer in the bag. And typically what you do, you take the flyer and you throw it in the trash, and a little voice, a tiny weak voice said, go back in the trash and pull out that flyer and see what it says, because you don't know. I mean, it was literally like a 5 minute banter with myself, like, no, yes, no. And I pulled it out and it was about a meeting with a guy who wrote a book called Romancing the Shadow. His name was Steve Wolf. Free seminar, and then you could join this group. And I went, you know what? Screw it. It was free. It was walking distance. It was a week later. I showed up. It was a circle of people. And he was in a circle. All the chairs were in a circle. And there was one seat left in the circle. And so I was like, I guess that's my seat. I sat down. I listened to this guy. And then I went through a 12-week process. I mean, like, think about that. I went through a 12-week process of learning how not to be a bullshitter. Because Romancing the Shadow, the book, was about the fact that there's the true self, and then there's this persona that we create for others because we don't want other people to think that we're idiots or losers or lazy or anything, right? So what happens is that you don't know who you really are, and you get caught up in the bullshit version of who you are, and so you can never grow because you can't get rid of the falsehoods and the exaggerations and the lies that you go through to try to present yourself in a certain way to everybody else. Powerful. And I learned a lot, you know what I mean? And then we formed a group. And there was this one gal in the group that I fell in love with her, and she was amazing. We dated for the longest time. And she introduced me to this crazy guru of hers, because I had chronic shoulder pain in this right. I had arthritis, bursitis, turned, you know, everything. And she said, this guy's a heat guy, right? Like, he doesn't touch. He just, the heat in his hands, he's a healer. All right. So I went reaching into the garbage can, and now I'm going to a guy with hot hands at a healer in a strip mall in Culver City, all right? And I see this guy, and he looks like Jim Carrey, and he's goofy like Jim Carrey. And he's doing wonders for my shoulder, and I kept like, how do you do this? He goes, I just figured this out a few years ago. I mean, I was a mechanic, and then I just worked on my sister and my mother, and I had this powerful healing thing. And one day I'm laying there, and this is before P90X or I was anybody, you know what I mean? I was still in that apartment trying to figure things out. And I'm laying there, and he says, hey, you know, I have some other interesting abilities, and I think I know you well enough after our conversations that I want to share one of them with you. And I said, okay, because, you know, because I can read past lives, and I can also – I said, oh, okay, so now my bullshit meter's like, wah, okay. I mean, you're fixing my shoulder, so I'll sit okay, here and
I'll,
listen.
I'll give you that, but all right, go ahead. Let's move on.
He says, there are – 7 cycles on earth. If you believe in reincarnation, there's 7 and you're number 6. And he said, a number, you still have one more to go. And then you'll hang out the hand of God after that, like whatever God is for you, it's whatever, but you're in number 6. And he says, the last ones have been really interesting and you've come a long way. And in this lifetime, you're going to have an effect on millions and millions of people. You're going to become, you know, he said, very successful. You're going to be able to, you know, change your lifestyle quite a bit. You're going to affect millions and millions of people. All right, so I'm broke. Okay,
how old are you?
What's that?
How old are you?
It's early 90s, and I'm or late 80s, and I'm training Tom and Billy Idol and a couple others, really. But you know, I'm millions. I'm helping 5 people right now, And so I started sobbing, like uncontrollably sobbing. And so this guy's telling me this thing. He says, which was a weird reaction because I thought I would say, "You're nuts, dude. Let me out of here." And anyway, he was right.
Did that voice, did that guy's voice continuously pop up in your head?
As my life would shift, like I would make these, you know, there'd be these broke, made a product, pay off my bills, buy a house, buy a new car. You know what I mean? Like, wow. Like people would come to my new house compared to where I lived. One of my clients looked around and went, "Dude, this is a freakish cartoon-like upgrade, dude, for you. You understand? Like most people buy a little tiny ranch joint, kind of a funky part of town, and then they did that, and hope, and maybe that's as far as they get. And maybe you skipped like five steps in just this one little success." And I think about him all the time. I thought, is that just some goofy guy that made something up and we got lucky? But I guess the short answer is, you know, I'm on this earth to help other people understand that they can really transform their lives completely, physically, mentally, and emotionally through exercise and eating better and maybe some mindfulness. And if that is truly the foundation of who they could be, if they want to be that. And I've seen examples over and over and over and over again. I'm constantly reminded by, Larry Fitzgerald, who played for the Cardinals, probably the number two top receiver of all time behind, who's the guy on the San Francisco who everybody knows?
Rice?
Yeah, Jerry Rice. Like, you know, he said, "You extended my career." What? You know what I mean? Who was the interview that I had, podcast that I just did with Ray Lewis? He goes, "Abbott Barrex extended my career and made me a better football player." Abbott Barrex. I did Abbott Barrex twice a day for the majority of my career toward the end. That single routine affected my career more than anything else. I'm like, what? You know, really crazy thing. A kid from Boston hanging out with his buddy. He was day 89 of P90X. He was on the third story of an apartment building, lost his balance, fell off into an alley, into the pavement. He broke every bone in his upper body, face crushed, shoulder, collarbones, ribs, punctured lungs, everything else. Was given his last rites three times, survived. And the doctor said, the only reason your heart wouldn't die, your heart kept pumping. Your brain kept working. And they said, if it wasn't for your musculature and your strength and you're just, you know, who you are. And he said, what do you do when you're an athlete? He goes, "I've been doing P90X. Great. The guy talked, said, "Well, that P90X thing is the reason why you're still on this earth, dude." Stuff like that. Like one gal, overweight, had five kids, obese her whole life, lost 125 pounds, has changed and kept it off. This is like 20 years later. Still, like, she is the icon within her family and her friends. Like, they look to her for advice on how to get, because they saw where she was and they see where she is. And, you know, Jeremy Yost, a guy I went on military tours with, he worked in Kentucky for Toyota or Datsun, or I can't remember which. He had a shattered ankle from football in high school. Clinically, so big he couldn't see his junk. You know what I mean? Like, massive. It was 380 pounds. He lost 180 pounds and went on tour with me. And, you know what I mean? Like, there's just thousands of stories that are out there.
Wow, man. Well, so, I'll tell you what, man. You have definitely affected millions of people's lives around the world and continue to do so through everything that you do, man. So I do appreciate your soul's journey and what you've been doing, brother, and what you can continue to do helping people around the world, man. Where can people find you and this new stage in your life, in your career?
Wait, I got it all written down. Hold on. Because I'm 63 and I don't know about these things. Right. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Tony_Horton on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Instagram at Tony S. Horton. On YouTube, Tony Horton. That should be easy. And of course, Tony Horton Life, that's my website. For any and all events, we do events in Jackson Hole every winter. It's a yoga ski retreat. And then our Paragon thing, our next one's in October. Already here it is April. We're half sold out. We only take 30 people, and there's already 16 people that have signed up. It's an amazing four-day event from Thursday to Sunday. It's life-altering for a lot of people. Top speakers, you know, we had Brendan Brazier from Vega, who's here, is a friend of mine, and great experts in every field. Hopefully we might get Sanjay Gupta here for October. Got our fingers crossed on that. And then if you're interested in Power Life, it's mypowerlife.com. 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 TonyHortonLife.com and MyPowerLife.com.
Tony, man, thank you again for coming on the show, brother, and doing what you do, brother. I truly appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I'm a little upset we didn't get the 3-hour mark, but I'm okay with that.
Next time. It leaves us open for the next one, sir. It leaves us
That's
open for
right.
the next one.
Yeah, we'll make it a series.
I know it's so hard sometimes to get up off that couch and plan your day around a little bit of a workout to get your body where it needs to be. But I promise you, if you don't do it, it will slow you down or stop your life's purpose. You owe it to not only yourself, but to the world to get into that shape, to get your mindset right so you can do those amazing things that you were put on this earth to do. And if you also want to try Tony's new supplement brand, Power Life, you can go to his website, mypowerlife.com, and use the coupon code TONY30 for 30% off your order. Now, if you want to do a deeper dive into our guest today, head over to the show notes at nextlevelsoul.com/006. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a positive review on whatever platform you are listening on. It really helps the show out a lot. And remember to trust the journey. It is there to teach you. I'll see you next time.